chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The order of things as we know them are passing away. Praise God. The order of things as we know them are passing away. The things that we count to be precious today will be dung tomorrow. Gold is still struggling around $400 an ounce. Anybody here could be a millionaire if you had the spunk to borrow the money and buy gold when it was $35 an ounce. Then it went up. It went up to $700 an ounce. You could have sold and made a fortune. But the day is coming when you will run past gold in the streets and don't even turn around to look at it, much more to pick it up. Hallelujah. The things that we count precious today, our little feelings, our hurts, our imaginations, are passing away. The quicker they pass away, the better off you are. Come on. This year is the year 5744 in the Hebrew, in Israel. They don't say 1984 because they don't number their years from Jesus. But the year 5744 is what we call 1984. But they don't have figures like we do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Therefore, their alphabet is their numbers. You understand? So, 57, 5 would be TH, 7 would be Zion, and so 57, 44, they would have two more letters, 44, and that is the year 1987. But something peculiar has happened to their figures, because their figures also form words as well as figures. And what you think the word is? Apocalypse. Oh yes. It means a lot to the Jews. It doesn't mean anything to us, but it means what we call the end, the revelation, the end of all things. That's what it means. And it's Tashmad. Tashmad. You know, I was coming out of my sleep the other morning, and the spirit, I it was a kind of vision that I went to someone and I said, "It is Tashmad." And I was speaking in Hebrew and said, "Tashmad, Tashmad." Remember, the word is Tashmad. Praise be to God. I opened my Bible a little while ago and I saw paper fell out. Tashmad, it said. And I just wonder if we know it, if we feel it in our spiritual beings, that we are going home. In other words, the Bible said the birds know their time. When it is spring, you don't have to tell the birds. We were in Minneapolis the other day and it was snowing and ice, and perched upon one of the snow-covered limbs was a red, beautiful cardinal. And they say, "He has returned, he has returned." And they were happy to see the cardinal return, because that means spring has come.
Hallelujah.
In spite of the winter outside, they know spring has come. The birds know their time. The flowers, they know their time. The beasts, they know their time. But God said, "My people, they don't even consider." Jesus spoke a parable, said, "When ye shall see the fig tree and all the other trees of the wood put forth their branch, know that summer is nigh at hand, even at the very doors." In the snow and the ice, the tree in the backyard of the brother's house was putting forth branches, new branches. They knew that the sun would come out in a few days. Hallelujah. But the people of God, they are deaf, they're dumb, they're blind. They don't feel God. They don't feel the urgency. And it's frustrating to be calling. Have you ever had a dream when you're calling to people, telling them, "Look out," and nobody's noticing you? They're just going on their merry way. The height of frustration. Hallelujah. But I know that there are some who are hearing.
Thank you, Lord.
I know that God has anointed the ears of some. I know that God told Moses, he said, "Take Aaron and his sons and bring them before the tabernacle." And when they brought Aaron and his sons before the tabernacle, God says, "Sanctify them. Touch their ears, the right ear. Touch the right ear with the blood." I was going into my car and somehow my glasses fell off while I'm going into the car. I tried to catch the glass, my head went back on the car, and my right ear was damaged so badly, it pained for days and days. I said, God, you're trying to get my ears. Oh, it couldn't happen. It couldn't happen by accident. It could not happen by accident. It's a freak accident. It's God. God, I hear you. Something you want to say to me, and I'm not listening. He touched the blood upon his right ear. Brethren, is the blood on your right ear? Or are you still listening to other voices? So many voices. So many preachers. So many words coming through the mail. Are you hearing what God is saying? You turn around with me to Songs of Solomon. Hallelujah. If you are hearing, you're going to hear these voices. Hallelujah. And it's yes, the voice of the turtle is heard in the land. That's 2. Thank you. Where, what verse now? Verse 12. For lo, verse 11. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. You know, in the Hebrew, there is no of birds. Put your finger over off birds and read it. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. You notice what it said? Our land. You know why? You have ears to hear the voice of the turtle. Others don't hear it. They're going on their merry way. But some of us are hearing something. Heaven is drawing nearer. Oh yes. Heaven is beckoning mankind to stand up now, because this is the time that God spoke of by the holy prophets. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vine with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. Hallelujah. Don't your heart hear what God is saying to us tonight? He said, what manner of men ought ye to be? If you know that these things of the earth are going to be burnt up, then you look before God and say, oh God, I wish I had spent more of my substance for God and for bringing forth the kingdom. Oh God, that I had only given what I should have given. I remember a sister in Berlin. Just before Hitler took over, there was a sister who had quite a lot of position, and she promised to give a hall for the young people, the worship hall for the young people, and it was so badly needed in that area. And every day she said, I'll give it. I'm going to give it one day. I'm just waiting on something. I'm going to give it one day. And so sure enough, one day she went to the bank, got the money in cash, and walked down to the church and handed it to the minister and said, here is my gift to build that hall for the young people. The minister looked at her and tears began to run down his eyes. He couldn't speak. He reached over, got the day's paper, the morning paper, and handed it to her. It said that Hitler had canceled the mark. It was trash. And all people, they threw out the money, and it came floating down the river. Her money was no good. Her gift was too late. When are we waiting for to move to give God our all? Hallelujah. When are we waiting for? I tell you what God has on my heart. You turn with me to Revelation chapter 9. Remember, Peter prophesied, and Peter said that the holy prophets say that there is going to be fire on the earth. And if we know that there's going to be fire on the earth, what manner of men ought we to be? But Peter was talking 2,000 years before. Today, 1984, I am going to tell you this categorically by the Spirit of the Living God. If we pass 1984 and what the holy prophets speak about, the fire on the earth does not come, then it is only the mercy of God that is holding back. Tashmud. Hallelujah. That's what this year is. Turn to Revelation 9. The fifth angel sounded. The fifth angel, our messenger, is the messenger that brings to the church the message of total surrender to God. I am not talking about the surrender that we are used to. I am talking about total surrender, which we are not used to. Total surrender is the surrender of your mind, the surrender of your emotions, the surrender of your will, the surrender of your desires, the surrender of the whole man to God. Now, I'm not talking about your goodness. I mean your goodness need to be surrendered too. I'm not talking about your nice thoughts. I mean your nice thoughts need to be surrendered. God is saying that the fifth angel, when the scriptures mention the trumpet of the fifth angel, is talking about a message of total, absolute soul surrender. We have already surrendered our bodies to God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. God says, sons and daughters, give me your heart, and I'll give you my Father's kingdom. He is talking about the whole of the rest of it. He's talking about your pride. He's talking about your pride as an American. Should be superseded by your pride as a child of God. Oh yes, there are some churches that still have problems with white and black, and some have problems with black and white. Oh yes, many people say you should preach in a black church. A black church? Never heard of it. Never heard of a black church.
Hallelujah.
A yellow church. You know, a white church. What's it? You know, what's that? When a man and a woman begin to move in God, you forget your woman, you forget your man, you forget your white, you forget your black. You've lost all that. God says, has that been laid on the altar? Some of the women are still going around ministering to women. I wonder if you understand me. I don't mean you mustn't minister to women now. I mean they have a woman ministry. And it is in opposition to men ministry. It is an aglo. Or it is a full gospel businessman. One is man and one is woman. Nonsense.
Amen.
That's not church. Amen. The church that God has called out has no sex.
Amen.
It has no color. It has no class. And yet it is full of class.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh yes. You're above certain things. You wouldn't stoop to certain things. That's class. Amen. But when it comes to world class, no, no. I am a high class and you're a low class. There's no such thing in God.
Amen.
God's asking you the way you think, if you have given it up. Have you given up your thinking? Have you been continuously surrendering your thinking to God's thinking? Lord, I really like so-and-so. I'd love to have so-and-so. I'd love to do so-and-so. But God, what do you want? What do you want done? Can you imagine a week before Jesus Christ comes, we will be busily doing things that didn't matter. It didn't matter. Only one thing would have mattered: if you had strengthened the inner man by the Christ, if you had submitted to the Spirit within, if you had walked in the ways of God, then you would have preserved some gold up in heaven. You know, I started out by telling you about gold price. Well, God said, buy of me gold tried in the fire. And so the fifth angel sounded. And what happened when the fifth angel sounded? I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. And to him, Mr. Star, was given the key of the bottomless pit. Come on now. What are we talking about? We're talking about a star, and then we call the star him. Check the Greek in your interlinears, in your Strong's. Oh, bless God for those books.
Amen.
Hope you're all taking the Bible course. It's beautiful. Yes, I have listened to it, and it's very good. I think you should all have it. When I talk about the Bible course, I'm talking about the Greek course. It's dealing with words like this. And when you look at the words, look at it keenly again. You see, it said, him, this Mr. Star, was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, remember, God is trying to identify the time. If you hear a calling in your heart or in your voice, a voice in your heart saying to you, it's time for me to get closer to God. I have a burning in my heart to be nearer to God, to be more like Jesus. If you feel that burning, then it's the fifth angel, because that's the surrender that God has asked you for, the surrender of your soul. That's the second and final offering in the tabernacle. You know that. And that was done on the Day of Atonement. It was done every day, but on the Day of Atonement, it carried the priest through the veil. He took up his censer. He took up his thing. It wasn't as big as this. He could lift it easily. This one feels heavy. But he would grab it by the two horns, put it between his feet, and shuffle it into the holiest of all. What does that say to you? It says that the prayers of the saints, which that altar represent, the offering of the soul, whenever that is perfect before God, God is going to shuffle you through the veil. That is the coming of Jesus Christ at midnight as a thief in the night. It's the day of the Lord. Now, I want you to understand it very carefully. Because we read a scripture which says in 2 Peter that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When that happens one of these nights, when you go to bed, you will wake up in a new dimension. It might be a day when you're driving down the street and zoop, there is a change. The Christ of God has taken charge of his temple. And you begin to see what's coming around the curve. Oh yes. You begin to see what's coming around the curve. One day I was driving down the street, wife and children going to a meeting, hustling along the highway, long, straight, open stretch of road, and started opening up the car, and God said, look over on the hill to your left. I look on the hill way over there, and I saw a herd of horses wild, running, stampeding straight towards the road. I saw them on the hillside, and God told me to stop, and I got to the road and I stopped. And brother, hallelujah, amen. The horses rushed across the road. I mean, we would have been ground to powder. The stampede whoop across the highway, and I'm standing there right over my bumper. Hallelujah. You start seeing around corners. You start hearing things that other people are not hearing. You start walking in the heavenlies like Jesus Christ walked while he was down here. And he tells you what his Father says, and nobody else hears his Father. Amen. Like a thief, he's going to slip indoors into his temple. But your door must be opened, and you shall be ready and waiting for him. So when we talk about the fifth trumpet sound, we're talking about your surrender to God. In other words, let me show you what I mean. If fire is going to be lighted on the earth, you better be in the right place. You understand? If we knew that fire was going to start tomorrow, then probably we would be all here praying all night tonight. But you don't know. If fire is going to come, the only safe place is in God, under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh God, I feel like just dropping on my knees and crying, oh God, let me in under the shadow of the Almighty. Don't you think God would hear those prayers? Oh, I don't care what I was yesterday. I don't care what I've done wrong. But God, you say by faith we can enter in. Let me in under the shadow of the Almighty. And then he'd pat you on the shoulder and said, don't worry. I make you the promise that I will. And so, we see that a star fell. Now, check your Bibles through and through. Be a student. And you come back and tell me that my interpretation is wrong. And I will bless the Lord for you. But I say the word star means a man. a man, a son of God, somebody who we trust, fell from heaven, from the kingdom of God. If you notice that in several places in Revelation, the word heaven refers to the kingdom of God. In Revelation 12, it says there was war in heaven. You know there is no war in heaven. It says there's a woman in heaven crying. You know there's no woman in heaven. Neither crying, sister. Then it says she had a man child and he was caught up to heaven. Oh, from heaven to heaven. So you know that God's talking about this heaven down here, the kingdom of God. And we see that a star fell from the kingdom of God. Lord, help us. Oh, God, help us. I look around and I see nothing but fallen stars as I stand here before you. Men of God who we held up there. All of a sudden, we're ashamed to repeat what they are saying. Oh, yes. God tells us that many antichrists would come. And we see the Pope comes out and he says, I am Christ. Oh, he doesn't say that? Oh, he talks a lot of words around to fool you, but he says, I am Christ. I am the vicar of Christ. So I am what? I am Christ when Christ is absent. So what am I? That's what he says. That's what he says. And the church is Episcopal Church, Lutheran, sorry, went to the Pope and said, let's join with you. We want to be one church. As a matter of fact, one of the charismatic leaders said, we should repent of ever having left the Catholic Church. And the Pope said, yes, we will be one with you, but you'll have to recognize the Pope as the head of the church. Now, if you do that, you blaspheme against God. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Amen. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Amen. And any time you recognize another head, you reject the head. Amen. And this is what? This is his condition. You must accept the Pope as head. Once they were taking communion, and the priest said, all you what they call them again, they don't say Protestant anymore, they don't use that word. All you lovely separated brethren, you can have communion with us, but there's one condition, that you accept the Pope as head of the church. I mean, that's not the only antichrist. You know, did you hear about the New Age movement? The rainbow, you go and you see rainbow. I went into one office down in Miami and I see eight rainbows on the wall. That's the symbol of the New Age movement, the rainbow. What is what? Well, I couldn't tell you right now. I'd have to stop the message. But, you know, there's a book out. And I will tell you how to get it. It's a movement that has, basically, I can just say, it has a man somewhere in London or somewhere. He's from the East and he says he is Christ. And they are planning to have laser three-dimensional pictures suspended over each city. And voice speaking from this picture. Praise God. Himself from in the air by laser, some three-dimensional setup, and he'll call to the Christians and said, I am the Christ, return and worship, so and so. And he'll talk to the Muslims over there, and he'll talk to the Buddhists in another country, and so on and so forth. And that's the kind of plan that this lady infiltrated the movement, and she put forth. But many false Christs are alive and around today. I remember having fellowship in a group like this where one man got up and said, he is Christ. See? And then he started to teach the whole group that they are Christ. That if you're the body of Christ, then you're Christ. You see, that was the kind of teaching. But we see then star fall from heaven, and this star fell to the carnality, the earth. He fell from the kingdom of God, and he fell to a carnal dimension. Amen. Hallelujah. I see many stars falling, and I'll tell you one of the signs that I see today, which you have seen too. You will just be able to say amen so that you understand what I mean. I see Christians, ministers, who God has anointed to preach the gospel, turn around and start preaching politics. Now I say that if God had ordained you a politician, then it would be all right. But God made you a minister. He built you up. He gave you a message. You got many souls saved. You got a big church organization going. And you got money flowing in. And you take it and turn it over and began to preach politics. Now, I don't care. But I'm not going against politics. I'm going against ministers preaching politics. Because that's not what they were ordained for. God set them up in order to bring forth life to the church. And they turn around and start root for one politician or another. You see, politics is not going to save this country. Politics is not going to save the world. As a matter of fact, the world would be better off without politics and politicians. And what is going to save the world is your steadfastness in Jesus Christ, that you will reach to a point where you can talk to God and say, God, save this world for us. And as God showed me a people rising up out of the destruction. You know, just like a rapture, rising up out of the destruction. And lifting their hands to God and crying, God, save your people. And the destruction that was determined against that realm in which they were on the mountaintop turned back. Never touched one of the trees. Never touched the earth. It just went backwards. I want you to understand, therefore, brethren, where we are in time. We are at the end. Listen to me now. We are near the end of the sounding of the fifth trumpet, and we are beginning to hear the sixth. The sixth is calling you to come into that place of fullness with Christ. When the Christ descends suddenly into the church, into the body, into you at midnight, then you will have entered into the sixth under the shadow of the Almighty. So the fifth usher you into the sixth. Those who didn't hear the fifth, those who didn't answer the fifth, those who didn't do what the fifth was saying will not be able to hear the sixth. Won't be under the shadow of the Almighty. Will be out in the darkness like the five foolish virgins. God is saying to us tonight, what manner of men ought we to be in holy conversation and in godliness? If you so believe that all that we see around us is being reserved for fire. The star that falls is a Christian person who is entrusted with the things of God, who has stepped down from the things of God to the carnality, the earth of this world, and he said was given to him the key of the bottomless pit. Now I want you to understand what the bottomless pit is. If you turn to Genesis, the very first phrase in Genesis speak about the bottomless pit. You turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth became. I have a little note on my thing here, marking out the word was, putting in the word became. And the earth became the abyss, or the bottomless pit. Hell. You imagine what happened. God makes all things good. God didn't make chaos. God made the earth beautiful and good. Satan fell from heaven down to the earth and tore it up. And there was chaos and darkness. And the water mixed with the land, and it was all a muddy mixture. Hallelujah. And God looked down over the edge of the abyss. That's exactly what the Hebrew says here, translated into English. It comes out without form and void, formless. Like putty and void, barren. And yet God had made the earth for man, but something happened between that time and the time we were to come and inherit our earth. Earth became hell. Earth became hell. You remember that story in Luke where where the Jesus went into Gadara and he saw a man possessed with a legion of devils. And as he approached the man, the devil saw the glory of the Son of God coming towards them. What a horrible situation. Can you imagine a devil seeing the glory of God coming down upon him? And they trembled and they cried out. Let's read it. You have the
This was
the Jesus coming in to Gadara, and he saw. I'll soon give it to you here. Eight. That's right. That's eight. Now, read it for me, please. 8:31. God, the Bible said, and Peter stood up. Let's say Peter was down. Peter stood up. He's the man
with the key,
and he opened the kingdom
of God.
3,000 souls were saved that day,
entered into the kingdom.
And Peter was on the housetop. And God called him again and said,
go down
to Cornelius.
Two men
are out at the door waiting for you to take you down to the Gentile, because they want the man with the key to open the kingdom for them. And Peter went down then, and the Bible said that while Peter yet spake, they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. Peter had the key. Hallelujah. Many years ago, there was a man here named Branham, William Branham. Very controversial. People didn't understand him. Myself didn't understand him. I judged him many times of being not a man of God, because, well, some little peculiar things. He had an angel with him, number one. Number two, he came to a meeting and I was dying to hear him, and he just walked right off the platform and went home. And I had it against him. But I begin to hear about Branham and begin to search into the man, and I found out that Branham was a mighty man of God. As a matter of fact, the mightiest man of God that ever came forth in this century. And he made a prophecy many, many years ago in the 60s. And he prophesied about two men of God that we know. And he said certain things about those two men of God, and it hurt me deep down. I could never believe in Branham because of those things, that prophecy that he said about these men. And what do you know? I had to repent. And I wanted to go on record that I repent, because what Branham said is happening right in our very eyes. The two men are doing exactly as Branham said they would do. They would lead the church into the Antichrist system. And today they are busy leading the church into the Catholic system. You believe me? Branham said it 1963, somewhere around there. And I have witnesses. I have his tape with his own voice. I have the newspaper from Jamaica when he said it. He was sitting right on the pool in Flamingo Hotel. Hallelujah. And I see it coming to pass. The stars are falling. Don't follow them. You will fall too. Said, what manner of men ought we to be in holy conversation and in righteousness? And let me tell you, whatever devils in hell that there are, those men that have the key are going to open up hell and let loose on us. You turn to the 16th chapter. I don't want to misunderstand what I'm saying tonight. The message is coming down to an end. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying tonight. I'm giving it to you from the scriptures. Turn with me to the 16th chapter of Revelation. And verse 12 said, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. I read that you might see where we are. The sixth sound. And the sixth sound blends in with the fifth. Do you know, when the trumpets were sounding, one man picked up number one trumpet and he sounded, and number two joined, and number three joined, and number four joined, and number 5, 6, 7.
And when number 7 trumpet blasted, it was 7 trumpets. Yes.
It was 7 trumpets.
It wasn't just one.
All 7 blew number 7. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. When God begins a message in you, it never ends.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Until the perfect work be done. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. And in verse 13
it says,
now I want you to listen to this, ponder it.
And I saw 3 unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet.
Hell opened up on us to destroy the people.
Read verse 14.
For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty.
I wonder if we are hearing what's happening.
I'm telling you of time. You are seeing it right before your eyes. It is happening. A brother, a friend of mine, had a vision. And he had this vision that he saw one of the great evangelist preachers that we have sitting down in a hotel lobby. He walked up to him and he said to him, "The Lord God says to you, beware, watch out, that you do not become the prophet to the Antichrist." A message directly from God. Now judge the man as you will. I understand some of us judge him very harshly. Hallelujah. But judge him as you will. This man got up next morning, picked up his Bible, drove down to the hotel, went into the lobby, and saw the evangelist sitting exactly the same place that he saw him in the vision. He was sitting with 2 people talking, and this man went right up to them. And he said, "Oh, brother, come and join us." And he joined them. And the 2 people said, "Well, we really have to go, so we'll just leave you both." Exactly as it happened in the vision. And he said to the man, "Thus said the Lord, beware that you does not become the prophet to the Antichrist." And the brother said, "Thank you, brother." He knows him very well. "Thank you, brother. Praise God, thank you." And the loudspeaker came on. And they called the brother's name. "It is now time for you to give your address to..." There was a function, a kind of convention being held there. And the brother got up.
And he got up and went with him.
And he went up on the platform and he sat down here. And he opened his hands and said, "Oh, beloved brethren, how my heart longs for you." And he began to address the Catholic crowd. And they begin to cheer him on. And it was as if he never heard one word that the other brother had said to him. Then I went to the Lord to say, "My God, is this what you are saying to us? That we who fall from righteousness might well become the very strength of a system that God has condemned. A system that does not believe in the blood of Jesus Christ as being efficacious to save. A system that says you are saved when they baptize you as a child. A system that prays to idols. and worship idol. Is it that we, in our anxiety, in our desire to compromise, we are going to become the prophet to that system to strengthen them? Long ago, I knew that prophecy comes from the Pentecostal church. Don't you know that too? Oh yes. That's where they talk about the gifts of the Spirit. That's where they talk about prophecy. And today I see the Pentecostal church going in to be one with all the other churches that don't believe in our God and in our Christ. Hallelujah. Fell from his righteousness, from his place in the kingdom of God, and fall to the earth into carnality and become a prophet to the Antichrist. They are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. What manner of men ought we to be? What are we waiting for? If our forefathers had seen what we see happening in the church, they would believe that we are at the very, very, very end of time. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul went up on the hill to speak to the Thessalonian brethren because somebody had gone through there as a preacher saying that Jesus Christ had already come and that they should go to meet him up in the hill. The brethren were not students of their Bible. So Paul had to go up there to tell them it's not true. He said, Jesus Christ will not come until the church falls. Am I preaching the truth? Turn to the Bible. Turn. 2 Thessalonians, apostasia is not even a fall. It is a rebellion against God. We don't want you as our God. We want this man. Yes.
Is it the same word fall in Revelation 9?
I would have to look at it. I didn't look at it. May, if you want to take that Greek and look at Revelation 9 and pass it to me, let me see if it is the same apostasia. Well, you see, this word in Imam. Verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come an apostasy first, and that man of sin be revealed. The church is to fall to a point where a man rises up and say, I am God, and they say, Amen, we accept you. Are we there? Paul said that is the sign of the coming of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
But when we see the church, imagine the church that speak in tongues, that also has been compromised. I won't put a figure whether it be half, three quarter, or 90% of the brethren who move in the charismatic move. No condemnation, but they have a spirit, but it's not God. They speak in a tongue, but it's not God. Oh yes, I've seen men tell other men, say shabalaba, 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 say, and when they say it, shabalaba, shabalaba, they say, yes, you got it. Hallelujah! Unless you have a breaking forth. Unless you have the Spirit of God quickening your mortal body and quickening your soul and moving through you, you haven't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Seek it. Time to seek.
time to cry before God. Don't let it rest. Don't sit down on it and say, okay, one day I will speak in tongues. Don't even desire to speak in tongues. Just desire the fullness of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. As Reedy was telling me, he said his wife fell down. And he was so frightened. He just started to speak in tongues, and the Spirit of God just flowed through him as never before. It took that. You did it for him, Katie. Hallelujah. It took that. My sister-in-law, she wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost and couldn't get. Oh, she was so fearful. She couldn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. One night a storm came. None of you know how dreadful a storm is. It looks like it will never end. The wind blowing at 100 miles an hour, whistling through, lifting, tearing off the roof, taking away everything. And she ran to put something behind the door to prop up the door. The door was vibrating, and behold, the wind burst through and the door came towards her. And she spoke in tongues fluently. She and the door were sailing back, speaking in tongues. Nothing happened to her.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It took a whole door God had to throw at her to make her speak in tongues. But God is calling to us tonight, and I feel the urgency of the Spirit as I stand here before you, brethren. Except there come an apostasy. But we can't read that again.
Why?
Because there has come an apostasy, and there is an apostasy right in our midst, and it's coming to its end. He said, then the son of perdition, the son, man of sin, the lawless one, will be revealed. Rebellion against God will be revealed. Don't you hear me? Do you hear the singing of the birds?
Amen.
Do you hear the turkle? I mean, it's springtime. The sun came out today. It was beautiful. If it was my country, you would hear the birds just singing by the hundreds and by the thousands. Oh yeah, but not by the thousands. They sing that they wake you up.
If you're asleep,
you have to come out to look at them. Thousands of parrots would come down and settle down on a tree in my yard. Praise be to God Almighty. Amen. There is a sound of God in the air. And all those whose hearts are tuned towards God, looking forward to that great deliverance, your heart begin rejoicing. For the time is ripe. When you see these things begin to come to pass, know for sure, said Jesus, that your redemption draweth near. Praise be to God. I hate to stop. I hate to close. But when you see these things begin to come to pass, know for sure that your redemption draweth nigh. What things? Turn to Matthew 24. What things? Turn to Matthew 24. You see, Paul speak it, but Jesus Christ spoke it also. Matthew 24 and the 15th verse, Jesus said, when ye shall see He's giving us the time when it will come to pass. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Let me read it in English for you, because I notice that when you use these words abomination, desolation, it doesn't really carry the meaning to us. When you shall see the sin of rebellion which destroys, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the Pentecostal church or the holy place church. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Do you understand? Then let him which is in low ground in Judea flee into the mountain of God. Amen. Get ye up into the high mountain. Yes. Zion, said God, get you up into the high mountain. Isaiah 41. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get you up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, get you up into the higher mountain. Get you up, be not afraid. Get you up, be not afraid, he said. Praise be to God that tonight we are seeing the goal land. Tonight we see the promise of God before us. We see Satan. We see the churches coming together in a one world church. Oh yes. We see them coming together under the headship of a one man. But you know why it was easy for the rebellion to take the church people as it is taking them? You know why? They were conditioned. For 2,000, almost 2,000 years, they were conditioned for this very moment. If you had a pastor who was the boss of your congregation, and you were taught from the Bible that you must obey your pastor, whatever he says, you must obey him, then it would be very easy for you to obey the pastor of your pastor. Because the word pastor means shepherd or your herdsman. But God gave us a psalm in the 23rd psalm. And every little baby girl knows the 23rd psalm. The Lord is my pastor. I shall not want. But you see, they didn't make the same pastor. The word goes there. Because if you said the Lord is my pastor, you'd never want to call a man your pastor. So what they said? They said shepherd for the 23rd Psalm. But they say pastor for the boss of the church. Isn't that good? That's what men has done to your Bible, but they can't fool you anymore. For knowledge has increased. And God is saying to us, what manner of men ought ye to be in holy conversation? Saith the Lord God, I know what manner of men. We need to submit to the Holy Ghost. For them that are in Christ have rejected the things of the flesh and have turned wholly to Christ. Christ is in you. Go ask God to bring you into Christ. And whatever problems you have after you make that prayer, say, thank you, Jesus. This is the way to be in Christ. You see, because when Christ came into you, it was a down payment that he gave you so that you might get into Christ. When you get into Christ, you are part of the body of Christ all over the earth. And your head is Jesus Christ, Son of God,
He is my head. He is my great pastor. I cannot have another pope, for Jesus Christ is my pope. My papa. That's what pope means. My great father. That's why God said, call no man father. Call no man pope. For God is your pope. Jesus Christ, Son of God. This is the end of time. The signs, the surest sign. Jesus said, the last sign you're going to see before you get up into the mountain is the abomination of desolation standing up. See, he was there, but he was sitting down. Now he's standing up. He's taking authority over the holy place. It's so bad that in Minneapolis there is no bookstore that can carry Alberto. They took him out. Not even in something else. It's too dangerous. They will pull in your mortgage. You will get zapped. You can't allow your whole business to be destroyed for one book. We were just talking today about a brother in Minneapolis who was attacked and threatened. And his business is being attacked because he had one book in there. Just one book. He said he never even read it. He just had a book in his restaurant. And this is the kind of place we are living in. And this is the time when the powers that be are showing forth themselves. What manner of men are you going to be? You must get on your knees tonight and come to a decision with God so that God may know where you stand. I want to stand with Jesus Christ. I want to be holy. No, I don't want to wait till tomorrow to be holy. Today the message was, them that are led of the Spirit are the huios of God, the sons of God, the big sons. Not the little children, but the big sons of God. God bless you.